This morning I want to speak to you about 10 men who walked with God without a Bible, without the Holy Spirit, without any fellowship, without meetings, without conferences, without any spiritual books, even before the law was given. And many of them are called the heroes of faith. And I hope we'll make them our heroes. It's good to ask yourself this morning, brothers and sisters, who are your heroes? You know something? You'll become like them. You admire the worldly heroes, you'll become worldly. You admire the godly heroes, you'll become godly. And it's been in my heart to share with you about these 10 godly men. And number one, Genesis chapter 4. Here we find two young men, Abel and Cain. But there was a difference between the two. Both of them brought an offering to the Lord. But it says in Genesis chapter 4 verse 4, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. What a wonderful verse. Here was a young brother who brought something to the Lord, and the Lord saw something in Abel beyond the offering. You know, the Bible says in 1 Samuel, the Lord does not look on the outward appearance, but he sees the heart, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. And God saw in Abel's heart, there was humility, there was brokenness, there was sincerity, and there was faith, and there was thankfulness. And God is not impressed merely by our offerings, brothers and sisters, whatever we may offer to the Lord. Even all of us, we offer something to the Lord. But one person's offering, the Lord accepted. And the other person's offering, the Lord did not accept. It says in Psalm 138, verse 6. Psalm 138, verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet he has respect to the lowly. But the proud, he knows afar off. The Lord looks at the heart of everyone. No matter what we bring to the Lord, even if we think we can give lots of money to the Lord, I want to say you can't win God's acceptance through money, or even by doing some service for the Lord. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4, it's written about Abel here. Very interesting. By chapter 11 verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, he speaks. There was something so wonderful about this young brother Abel. God said, I'm happy with him. I'm happy with his life. I'm happy with his offering. And therefore, I accept his offering. The Lord did not accept Cain's offering. And Cain got mad with the Lord. And I want to ask you this morning, is God happy with your life? Young brothers and sisters, and some of us who have been believers for long, I want to ask you a question. Has the Lord accepted your life? What you offer to the Lord? If not, it's good to ask yourself why. Don't be jealous with other people whom the Lord's anointed, on whom God's grace is there. It's good to ask yourself, why, Lord? You didn't accept me. But I see the grace of God, the anointing of God, the other brother. This Abel probably was a man without guile, unsuspecting, so innocent, so humble, so pure before God. God said, yeah, amongst all the people, I like Abel. And God gave his approval to Abel. Oh, may God help us to follow in the footsteps of Abel and say, Lord, please help me to be like Abel. So that when I offer something to you, that you can accept not only my offering, first my life, and then my offering as well. Oh, that's really challenged my own heart. And it's good for us this morning to examine your own attitude. God sees your heart, brothers and sisters. God sees your attitude. He is not impressed by any gift that we can give to the Lord. We can fool others with our gifts, but not the Lord. He first sees our heart's attitude. Is there humility? Is there brokenness? Is there sincerity? And is there faith in the heart? And I believe that's the reason why even in the church I see there are many people who do something for the Lord. And I see their heart is not right with God, but they try to hide behind some activity in the church. But you know, like Brother Ian was telling last Sunday, but God does not bear witness to their life. Whatever work you do for the church, whichever department, whichever team you are in, don't think if your heart's attitude is not good, but you can find the acceptance just by being part of the team. I want to say we don't want your activity. We want your heart to be right with the Lord. And don't think you can hide yourself long under some activity. I believe God exposes such people. I've seen that over the years. Some of the Lord exposes the hypocrites in the church. Oh, maybe turn from all hypocrisy and say, Lord, I want to be like Abel, sincere, innocent, humble, broken, contrite, so that, Lord, my life is not a waste, that you can accept me and all that I do for you. Isn't it good, brothers and sisters, to follow the footsteps of Abel, so that, like the psalmist said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Oh, may God give us grace that we'll find our acceptance with God of our life. I want to move on to another man who walked with God. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. It says here, verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God. What a wonderful expression. And compared to many others who lived very long in those days, Enoch lived relatively less. Many others lived beyond 900 years, but Enoch lived one day 364 years. So we can say Enoch too was a young brother, married brother. It says he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 364 years. And again it's written, and Enoch walked with God. Oh, I love Enoch. I'm a fan of Enoch. Just three words is written. Enoch walked with God. If people were to give a testimony about you, what will they say about you? Will they say, yeah, he cleaned the hall, he cleaned the toilet, he's a good brother? I hope they can say about you, this brother, this sister, walked with God. And it's written twice. That means Enoch was walking so close to the Lord. He was not interested in the world. His heart was in tune with the Lord. He loved the Lord with all his heart. And you know, again it says in Hebrews chapter 11 about Enoch, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a fantastic young brother Enoch was. He walked with God and he pleased God. Oh, may we covet the testimony. Forget about what people think about us. That you can, you during your time on earth, let it be written about you. Maybe when you, at your funeral service, I hope people can say, this brother, this sister walked with God. And he pleased God. And I believe Enoch was a man of faith and humility. He had fellowship with God. And every God spoke to Enoch and Enoch spoke to God. That is fellowship. Fellowship is not one way. For Enoch, living a Christian life was not boring. He was in touch with God. I find so many brothers and sisters, their life is boring because they're not walking with God. I want to say this morning, if you're walking with God, your life will not be boring. And Enoch was so close to God, God said, Enoch, I want you to come and live with me. Oh, imagine God had regard for a man who was living on this earth, who was intimate with God. Oh, brothers and sisters, may God give us grace. And I want to say this morning, we need many Enochs in the church, not just brothers and sisters who will come to the meetings or clean the hall or clean the toilet. No, we want young... And Enoch, by the way, he was married. He lived a normal life. Some people think, you know, if you're married, you can't live a wholehearted life or a godly life. He says Enoch was married and lived and begat sons and daughters. Enoch lived a normal married life and a normal Christian life. But Enoch was close to God. Some people in India get the crazy idea that, you know, if you're married, you can't be spiritual. I believe that's one mark of a cult. God wants us all to live a normal life during the week and yet to walk with God. And that's what makes Enoch's life more interesting. Oh, I hope we'll say this morning, Lord, I want to be gripped by the life of Enoch. I want to live like him, follow him, Lord. And I want, Lord, you to be pleased with my life. You know, we used to sing this song, just a closer walk with you. Daily walking close to you, Lord. Granted, Lord. Oh, I hope you have a desire in your heart this morning. Lord, let it be written about me that I walked with you during my time on earth, that I did not give room to the devil, to the world, or to sin, that I learned to walk with God. What a fantastic example God given us in the Old Testament, brothers and sisters. Or maybe learn from them, be challenged by them, and maybe once upon a time you were walking with the Lord, you were backslidden. This morning the Lord invites you to repent, come back to Him, and start walking with the Lord, like Enoch, so that your life also can be pleasing to the Lord, so that your life also can be glorious. I want to move on to the third man who walked with God, and we read about him in Genesis chapter 6. And, you know, during this period, after Enoch, people were living in tremendous sin. There's so much of impurity and sin and violence. And the Bible says in Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God, who looked from heaven, saw the earth, and there was evil on the earth. And in the midst of it all, God found one man. It says here, verse 8. Noah was a pleasure to the Lord, it says in the another translation, maybe I think the Living Bible. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What a fantastic man Noah was. That God could look at the earth and saw only one man. And it's written again about Noah, verse 9. Noah was a just man and blameless in his generation. And Noah walked with God. How wonderful, brothers and sisters. One man. He was upright. According to the light he had, he was blameless. And it's written again, Noah walked with God. And chapter 7 verse 1 it says, God tells about Noah, for you I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Sometimes we say, oh brother, you don't know the place I'm living. There's so much of sin. Yeah, let's look at Noah and learn a lesson. And God told Noah, Noah, I'm going to destroy this world. Build an ark and verse 13 onwards. I'm not going to go into all the details. God gave him a description as to how to build the ark. And you know, something beautiful is written about Noah here in Genesis 6:22. After a clear description of how the ark should be built, verse 22 it says, Genesis 6:22, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him." He obeyed. He did not change any of the description. God said, "You put the window here, you put the door there, and this height should be like this." Noah did not use his cleverness to modify any of the specifications given by God. Noah is written about Noah. Noah did according to all that God commanded him. You know what Moses has written. He did again and again and again. He did as the Lord commanded. And I believe that's what blessed God's heart when he saw Noah doing exactly, doing what he told him. One man on earth. Thoroughly obedient. Totally different from all the others. And I'm sure everybody made fun of Noah. "Noah, you're making a ship on a dry land? Noah, are you crazy? Noah, are you not having any fun on this earth?" Noah says, "God's told me to build an ark. I'm just going to build it, no matter what you think of me. God's going to judge this world. God's going to destroy this sinful world. He's going to wipe out by flood." I'm sure they all mocked at Noah and saying, "Noah's lost his balance." But Noah kept on building. Imagine, just Noah and his children. Kept working, kept building. And then God told Noah, "Come into the ark." And it's written again in Genesis 7 verse 5. "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." We can say the ark is a picture of the church. God's called us to build, brothers and sisters. How he's going to destroy this world. There's so much of sin in this world. Jesus is coming soon. And God's given us his word. He's looking for people like Noah. Who will walk with him. And do exactly as the Lord has commanded. As with his word. And you know, there's a wonderful description of Noah again in Hebrews chapter 11. I like this verse. Hebrews 11 verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith." Noah said, "God told me he's going to judge this world. That's enough for me. I don't need to hear anything more from anybody else." Like we sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And Noah, he didn't join with all the worldly friends. Noah was different from all the others. Probably Noah was lonely too. Because he walked with God, he couldn't join the worldly friends. But finally, God approved Noah's life. And God saved Noah. And only those who were in the ark, they were preserved. Everybody else died in the judgment that God sent through the flood. And Jesus said, "The last days will be like days of Noah." And brothers and sisters, we are living in such days. I'm amazed at the tremendous spread of sin presently. Yeah, with all the latest technology, there's so much of sin. Rampant sin everywhere. And in the midst of it all, to say, "I got a calling. I don't want to be corrupted by the world and its lust, and this world is going to be judged." Oh, may God raise up brothers and sisters who can condemn the world by their life and say, "I don't have any desire for this world. I want to preserve myself and my family too." And we know the Lord preserved Noah and his family, and later on it says, the Lord, verse 9, "And God blessed Noah I believe we need many more Noahs in our times. And I want to say it's good to have fellowship with Noah and with those who want to walk with the God like Noah. He says in Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise will be wise. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, with whom are you walking? In the church, are you walking with people like Noah who are walking with God? Are you walking with backsliders, half-hearted, worldly-minded? You know, you can decide yourself. Are you walking with God this morning? Is your fellowship in the church only, is it only with people like Noah? We're not very popular, but they're walking with God. I've seen through the years, even young brother, I keep telling them, don't hang around with half-hearted and backsliders, and they become like them. If you hang around with Noahs, you'll become like Noah, walking with God. Oh, may God give us grace to learn from Noah. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. I want to say, I want to have fellowship only with those who walk with God, so that our life will count for God. And I want to move on to the fourth and fifth person who walked with God. And again, in Genesis chapter 9, we read about two young brothers, Shem and Japheth, sons of Noah. And the Bible says here, Noah slipped up, and we know the story. It says he was drunk and he was uncovered within his tent. But Ham, verse 22, the father of Canaan saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers, thought, and Shem and Japheth took a garment, or we can say took a bedsheet, and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of the father, and their faces were backwards, they turned away, and they saw not their father's nakedness. I've rarely heard of young people like that. Imagine there's an opportunity to be defiled by sin. I don't say no, I don't want to sin. I want to turn away from sin. Oh, I praise the Lord for Shem and Japheth. What an example in the New Covenant. I must say, even in the New Covenant, it's so difficult to find young people like Shem and Japheth who would say, I don't want to defile myself. You know what I discovered, brothers and sisters? If you don't want to defile yourself, you will not defile yourself. You know why you sin? Many times, because you want to sin. Oh, may God give us a heart like Shem and Japheth who say, yeah, just sin there, but Lord, I want to turn away from sin. I hope you'll take a bedsheet with you when you go before your computer. Yeah, say, Lord, yeah, I've got to use the computer, but Lord, I don't want to defile myself. I'm tremendously challenged by the examples, this Old Testament examples. And that too, they were young brothers, and they never had a Bible. There was no exhortation for them. Unlike all of us, we are getting exhortations every Sunday. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, I hope we'll at least come up to Shem and Japheth's example, their standard. I believe Shem and Japheth walked with God. They feared God. I'm sure they learned from Abraham and from Noah, because Noah walked with God. And they said, Lord, help us to keep ourselves pure. Like it says in Timothy, keep yourself pure. Because the Lord sees our attitude in the daily temptation. Yeah, we are living in a world filled with sin. So much of impurity around. And the Lord sees. You can do what you like during the week, and Sunday morning, oh, I worship the Lord. I believe the Lord knows that your worship is all fake. And you know, the Lord, it says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 26, Noah blessed. 26, and he said, blessed be the God of Shem, and Canaan shall be certain. God shall enlarge Japheth. He shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be servant. When you walk like Shem and Japheth, you not only keep yourself from sin, from defilement, you keep your heart pure. You know, God gives you something more. You know what? Can anybody tell me? God gives you fellowship. You know, fellowship is not just drinking coffee and tea together, just hanging around together. I want to say that's not fellowship. True fellowship is when you turn away from sin. Show me two brothers and sisters who turn away from sin, who keep their hearts pure, and were humble and broken before God. Even if they don't meet often, they'll have fellowship, true fellowship. You know, many times we mistake fellowship by just hanging around together, by going out to picnics together. And I want to say that is not how fellowship is built. Fellowship is built when you have right attitude towards sin and when you fear God more. Oh, we want more Shem and Japheth in our church. I hope you'll be like that and say, Lord, make me like Shem and Japheth. Even if I cannot preach one sentence properly, I would rather be like Shem and Japheth. And brothers and sisters, our fellowship needs to become deeper. I want to tell all of us this morning, we need a deeper fellowship that comes by fearing God, that comes by turning away from sin, that comes by being faithful in the time of temptation. And you young brothers and sisters, you're blessed to hear these things. Oh, may God give you grace and say, Lord, please help me. After hearing so many things, I don't want to go below the level of Shem and Japheth. That means we've bastarded in so much. We need to come higher than Shem and Japheth, not go below them. Or maybe say, Lord, please help me. I want to ask you this morning, have your friends enabled you to walk with God closer? Or have your friends driven you away from God? Maybe once upon a time you're walking with God today. It's such a heavy thing for you to come to the meeting. You've got an excuse. I've seen many friends driving others away from God. And I believe we need to keep clear of them. Say, I want people who can help me to draw near to God. May the Lord help us this morning. Say, Lord, I want to be like Shem and Japheth. I want to follow your example. I hope you'll make them your heroes. And then you'll find sin will become your servant. And that's the way, brothers and sisters. I praise the Lord for such wonderful examples, and I want to move on. Our time is running out. We already covered 5 examples of men who walked with God. And I want to move on to another man who had no Bible, no fellowship. And this man's name is Job. I don't know why Job is not such a popular book amongst many believers. But it says in Job chapter 1 verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one that feared God and turned away from evil. Oh, I want Job to be my hero. What a fantastic man God could say about Job, verse 8. And the Lord could tell Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him in the earth. A blameless man, upright man, one that fears God and turns away from evil. And again, verse 3, the Lord says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. A blameless and upright man, one that fears God. It says, reverence God and shuns evil. He doesn't say anything about Job's preaching. It says about Job's life. What a fantastic man. Job was a true disciple. And Satan was trying to target Job. And we know the story. I'm not going into all the details. How Job was tested. And Job was a true disciple of Jesus. And he said that even all the family members died. He says, verse 20, Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down, and worshipped. I never heard a person who lost his closest members in the family, sons and daughters, worshipping. Says Job, worshipped God when his children died. Naked came out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, for Job God was more important than his children and property. And we know the story how he was tested severely. And Job held on to his faith in God in the midst of all the trials. And he says, I know my Redeemer lives. Even though he couldn't understand why things are happening like that. But finally the Lord did a work in Job. And God broke Job. He had a revelation of God. And Job said, Lord, I'm nothing. I'm zero. I put my hand to my mouth. My eyes have seen you. Verse 40, chapter 42, verse 5 and 6. I repent in dust and ashes. This man was such a blameless, upright man, faithful in his temptation. And yet the Lord broke him. He became a broken man and blessed man. And he endured in faith till the end. Oh my God, give us grace to be like Job and say, Lord, help me, Lord, in all the trials that you send across my path. I want to hang on in faith. No matter what comes, then I shall not charge you or question you or grumble against all the circumstances and follow Job and say, blessed be the name of the Lord and give thanks and everything. And I hope we'll become broken like Job. Through all the circumstances, through all the trials, brothers and sisters. And I move on to the seventh person, Abraham. And God called Abraham. He immediately responded, leave your home, leave your relatives. Abraham too was a disciple. He separated from Job, from Lot. And he had no desire for earthly things. He was so free from covetousness. You know what I like about Abraham? It says, Abraham was called a friend of God. He was so close to God. God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham spoke to God. I really believe Abraham walked with God so close. When you go home, you can read how God spoke to Abraham. And then later on, Abraham also spoke to God. The Lord said, Abraham, I'll give you a son. And even though Abraham was growing old, he said, no, I believe God will keep his promise. He trusted God. He was full of faith. The Bible says he believed God. And that was accounted to him for righteousness. And Abraham was so close to God that God told Abraham, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm supposed to do? Imagine, God was so close to one man. And then God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah because Abraham was a man of intercession. God heard his prayer and saved Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. And not only that, there's a wonderful verse in Genesis chapter 21, verse 22 about Abraham. It says here, Genesis 21, verse 22. Here one heathen man comes and tells Abraham, God is with you in all that thou doest. Abimelech. What a testimony Abraham had. Others could testify about him. God is with you. And brothers and sisters, if God is with us, what more you want? And that's why when God was with Abraham, even when the Lord told Abraham, give up your son, later on, Abraham was willing to give up because for him God was important. Oh, may God give us a testimony that he is with us in all that we do. And I hope others can see also, not just we. Let others see that God is with us. And then we move on to Isaac, Abraham's son. He also walked with God. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 2, God spoke to Isaac. That's very interesting. God spoke to this man. God blessed them. And Isaac was a man of peace. He wouldn't quarrel with others, even for a thing like water. And Genesis 26, verse 28, says, again, a heathen man comes and testifies about Isaac, verse 28. We saw certainly that the Lord was with you. I hope we'll all have the testimony that others can see that the Lord is with us. I want the testimony. And then we move on to Isaac's son Jacob, the ninth character. You know, Jacob had a bad start, but finally ended up well. In the beginning he was grabbing the birthright, grabbing the blessing, grabbing property. But you know what happened? One day he had an encounter with God at Bethel, Genesis 28, verse 11. As he was traveling, he went to bed, and then he had a dream, verse 12. And there's a ladder set up on earth, and it reached to heaven, and then the Lord spoke to him, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and Isaac." And the Lord told him, "I am with," verse 15, "I am with you. I will keep you in all the places where you go. I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken." And this is the thing I want you to notice. And Jacob woke up out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." Verse 17, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Oh, Jacob had such a fantastic encounter with the Lord. And that's the mark of the church. Bethel means house of God. Interesting, I noticed the first time in the Bible the house of God is mentioned in Genesis. And he said, "This is the house of God, this is the gate of heaven." No, brothers and sisters, we have a connection with the Lord through Jesus. This ladder set up from earth to heaven. You can be changed from being an earthly minded person to a heavenly minded person. And you can receive the blessing from heaven into your lives and be a completely different person. Oh, I want that. I want a fresh touch of heaven in my life regularly. And I want to be able to say, "God is in this place." And I believe that's the church, when we come together to sense the presence of God, to hear His voice, and to get a connection with heaven. I want to ask you this morning, do you have a connection with heaven? Are you always earthly minded? Oh, may God give us an encounter with Him that will change our lives, so that we can say, "I got a connection to heaven. I'm no longer the same." And the same man, after some years, had another encounter with the Lord. You read that in Genesis 32. He got scared of his brother Esau. And verse 24, 32 to 24, he was left alone. He was worried that Esau will come and kill him. And he had another encounter with the Lord at a place called Peniel. He wrestled with God. And he told the Lord, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And then we find the Lord changed his name and his character. God changed his name to Israel from Jacob and said, "You got power with God, with men." And I found that many times, unless you get desperate with God, you get nothing. I know when I was looking for salvation, I was seeking the Lord. I wanted to be saved, but I didn't know how until someone helped me. Same thing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was seeking the Lord and I didn't know how. And I was seeking and seeking until someone helped me. And I want to ask you this morning, maybe some of you need a second encounter with the Lord. Maybe you don't have salvation. I'm sorry to say, I've met many brothers and sisters in CSU who've been sitting here for years, and after they discover they're not even saved. And they never asked any time, "Brother, I'm not saved, can you please help me?" And I know many sitting here, they've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they never asked the Lord, "Lord, I will not let you go unless you save me, unless you bless me, unless you lead me into this life of victory over sin." You know, Jacob got desperate of the Lord that day. He said, "Lord, once upon a time I was seeking after money and property and birthright, but now I want you." Oh, may God give us grace to have an encounter with Him and lay hold of Him and walk with Him and never, never depart from the Lord. And I want to come to the last character, Genesis chapter 37. This is about Joseph. Genesis 37 verse 2 says, Joseph was only 17 years old. What a fantastic man Joseph was, 17 years old, walking with the Lord. And you know, he was so obedient. And we know the story. I'm not going to go into all that. And you know how Joseph was sold by his brothers, became a slave, comes to Egypt. And Genesis chapter 39. Even when he comes to the house of Potiphar. See verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Verse 3. The Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did prosper him. Verse 4. Joseph found grace in his sight and served him. That's the main thing. The Lord of the Joseph, and we know later on he was falsely accused and put in the jail. And verse 39-21, the Lord of the Joseph. I don't care where I am, if the Lord is with me. And verse 23 again it says, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And because the Lord was with him, Joseph was not complaining. Joseph didn't say, oh, why these things are happening to me. He had faith. He endured. And in the jail, instead of being sad and gloomy, he was asking others, hey, why are you guys so gloomy today? And God gave him grace to interpret the dreams and help them. And finally, we know he could help interpret Pharaoh's dream, and God promoted him. And in a short time, God did such a fantastic work in Joseph. He could say, God sent me before you. You tried to harm me, but God sent me before you. And the Bible says in Hebrews, in the same Genesis 50, he died in faith. He said, he told his brothers, God's going to visit you. Take my bones from this place. He died in faith. Oh, may the Lord help us to live in such a way, to walk with the Lord and die in faith. Say, I know one day Jesus is going to come. He's going to resurrect me from this grave. Oh, how wonderful to walk with the Lord. You know, to summarize what I said this morning, walking with God is not some religious stuff. Walking with God means walking by faith, walking in the fear of God, walking in obedience, walking in the Spirit, and not walking out of the flesh, walking in lowliness, walking in love, walking in faithfulness in times of temptation, and walking with wise people, not foolish people, worldly people, carnal people, bastardian people. Look around for those who are walking with the Lord. The church needs brothers and sisters who will walk with the Lord. I see so many people who want to be committed to the church. Ask them, do you have a desire to walk with the Lord? Brothers and sisters, is this the reason why you're joining the church? Or you want to get married, or you want some financial help? I've not met many who can say, brother, can you teach me how to walk with the Lord? Can you teach me how to be saved? Can you teach me how to be a disciple? And that's the reason many times the church is not what it ought to be. Oh, may the Lord raise up many brothers and sisters who will say, I want to walk with the Lord. I want those who can help me how to walk with the Lord. And oh, may we learn from all the examples of godly men, and may our walk with the Lord become better than what it was, and say, Lord, no matter what happens, I want to walk with you, Lord. Just to close a walk with you. Granted, Jesus, this is my plea. Oh, may that be our cry this morning. And if you're backslidden, I want to say, brothers and sisters, it's a good time to seek the Lord and say, Lord, I want to walk with you, Lord. And the more you learn to walk with the Lord, as I said, if you walk the way we ought to walk, slowly you learn, also learn how to walk as Jesus walked, as we've heard for many years. That's a tremendous privilege on this earth, to walk as Jesus walked. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be a step-by-step affair. If you're faithful and obedient, the Lord will lead you to a place where you can walk as Jesus walked. Walk triumphantly. Oh, may the Lord give us grace to walk with Him and honor Him, and thus bless the church. Can I have amen? Amen. I'm glad you're not sleeping.
It was so encouraging to read about these 10 characters who lived before God even before the law was given. And I was thinking how these people can live such a life. You know, we read in Genesis 2:7 that when God created man, He breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life, and then it says he became a living soul. And because of that, man has a consciousness of God in his spirit. And the animals don't have it. You don't see a religious monkey or a donkey or any animal praying or even doing obeisance. They are animals, and they live in a kingdom that is ruled by the rule that is called the survival of the fittest. The fitter you are, the stronger and the greater territory you get. But in God's kingdom, it is just the opposite. the meekest shall inherit the earth, the Bible says. And we read about these 10 people, what we just heard this morning, that none of these were unemployed people. They were all employed. They had a job and they were faithful in whatever they were doing. And they had a consciousness of God and they lived in the fear of God. And thus they gained the certificate from God that they pleased Him. And we read in Micah, that comes after Jonah, what God requires of us as human beings. He doesn't put on us some heavy load. He puts on us only that what we can bear, because we human beings know what good gifts to give to our children and how much they can bear. We know their strength and their weaknesses, and we give them only that which they can handle. For instance, we don't tell a two-year-old boy to carry a 25 kg rice bag, because we know that he cannot do that. Accordingly, the God who has created us, He has more sense and more understanding than all of us, and He gives us only that what we can do. And He tells us to do only what we are capable of doing. Sometimes when we feel we are not capable of doing, we can ask His help. He says, ask me, ask and you shall receive. And when we ask for His strength and His grace, He gives us that. And here it says in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, what He requires from us. Micah chapter 6 verse 8. It says here, He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Here it is written what the Lord requires of us as human beings. But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. It is God's will that we all do justice and walk humbly with Him. Walking humbly with Him means that I humble myself under that mighty hand of God, and then only I will be able to resist Satan. We cannot resist Satan when we are not submissive to God. When you are submissive to God and you humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, the devil has to automatically obey you. When you tell him to go, he has to, because it is the word of God. And it says here that God wanted Eli. For instance, we read in 1 Samuel 2:30. Maybe you could just turn there. There was a prophet in the Old Testament before Samuel came, a prophet called Eli. And he was a true prophet of God, but this man was an old man and his priorities changed later on in his life, because God had blessed him and probably it went to his head. And we read here in the previous verse 29 of 1 Samuel 2, that he honored his sons above the Lord by making themselves fat with the choicest of everything of my people Israel. This prophet Eli, he honored his sons more than the Lord. And because of that, the Lord says in the next verse, I did indeed say, that was to Eli, that your father, indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. This was God's will for Eli and all the succeeding priests, high priests, that they should walk before the Lord forever. And now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Because this man didn't honor God and he honored his sons, God had to lightly esteem him. And this was the man, one of the first examples we read in the Bible, that he is the man who fell down backwards and broke his neck. And what you see today in the Christian TVs, people falling backwards, you compare that with this. There are very few instances where people fell backwards. This is one of them. And another place where Jesus asked, when those people came to arrest him, who are you seeking? And he said, they said, Jesus. And he said, I am he. And when Jesus said that, they fell backwards, it says. And it is God's judgment, when God's judgment comes upon his people, even we read in Isaiah also, that people who fell backwards are those who were judged by God, and it was not by the Spirit of God. You read umpteen times in the book of Ezekiel and other places, whenever God's Spirit came upon God's people, they always fell forwards, not backwards. They fell on their face. This is the true Spirit that is working in the Bible. And this is biblical. The Spirit that you see around, people falling backwards, showing their legs to the preacher, is not scriptural. I'm sorry to say that many people swallow that wholesale when they watch Christian TVs. So may God open our eyes to see what God requires of us. And God requires of us that we walk humbly before Him and within the framework of His commandments. Thus we gain His approval.
To wake you up, I have some questions. Do you know Hussein? Who is Hussein Bolt? Alan Bernard? Nobody knows. Salimi Kordasia? Sam Whittingham? I thought you were smarter than me. Well, these are the world champions. These people had a great desire to break the previous world records. And they broke the world record. You know, when we look up at these people, we really get challenged. We get, our blood flow to our brain becomes hard. We want to become like them. You know, I ride bike and I love riding bikes. When I go slow, suddenly somebody goes in a high speed, 90 kilometers per hour. Automatically my brain becomes active. It always goes faster. No, that happens in physical life, but that's what it should happen when we read about this godly man. You know, these are the champions in faith, champion in following the Lord. You know, we need to have that adrenal flowing to our brain and the blood flowing to friends should challenge us. Lord, I want to be like this man who are the world champions. I want to be a world champion, Lord, in your kingdom. That's the challenge we need to have. You know, those who study well, those who get ranks, sometimes we see the previous record, somebody scored this much mark and somebody scored that much mark. We also think we want to break that record. And sometimes we break the record physically. But when we come to the spiritual life, those people can do it. And God liked them, that's why they couldn't do it. I cannot do it. That's not true. That's a lie of a Satan. If this Old Testament man who never had a Bible, who never had a Holy Spirit, who never had Brazak, who never had CFC, if they can live this life, you and me can live this life, brothers and sisters. We can break this world record. We can be faithful to Him. As this godly men were there, always I'm challenged to read about this man, Job. You know, we know history of Job, and you know, even the book of Job was written much before it was, Genesis was written. And they say that he lived much before other godly men like Moses. But this man lived what a faithful life. What a challenging life. That really challenges me. We heard about him earlier, but I want to you to turn with me to Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. First encouraging thing is God called Job by name. God called each one of us by name. That's why we are sitting here. We need to take encouragement from that. The second challenging thing is, man was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. That really challenges me, that really puts me into shame, that even though I have so many facilities, I have resources from the Lord and resources from the church, Lord, I want to be like him. This man without any resources, without any support, if he can live a blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil, I can live this life, O Lord. And one more thing, you know what God testifies about him? Job chapter 1 verse 8. By the way, God is testifying about Job to Satan, not the people. My son, have you considered my son Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless, upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. That's a challenge I want to take from this godly man. We are not sitting in a history class to hear about all these godly men and sleep and forget. We are sitting in a military base. We have to live for Christ by taking challenge from this godly man. We can live this life because God has given us enough resources, enough encouragement, and God has given us the Holy Spirit to run this life. You know, one thing which trips us down when we run, number one, sin. Number two, unbelief. You know, when we look at this godly man, you know, Job, he also slipped and fell. I mean, Job chapter 31 verse 33. Job chapter 31 verse 33. Have I covered my transgression like Adam by hiding my iniquities in my bosom? What he's trying to say, he never hid his sin. When he fell, he went to God and confessed. When we trip and fall, let's not lie down there. Let's not feel sorry for us, and let's not wait for people to come and lift us up and saying some good words. Let's get up and say, Lord, I fell. Forgive me. I want to run again. You know, it's my favorite statement is, so what? You know, when we fall, when Satan come and accuse us, we can tell him, so what, Satan? I fell, but I never lost the love for the Lord. I never lost the fire for the Lord. I am going to get up and run. Let me give you one example. You know, the Tendulkar in the cricket World Cup, we thought that he's going to hit this 100th century, but he didn't do it. I mean, he couldn't do it. If you go and ask him, Mr. Tendulkar, have you lost the love for cricket because you didn't hit the 100th century in the World Cup, you may get a thrash from him. I never lost the love for cricket. I'm going to pursue after it. I'm going to get my 100th century. I need to have that attitude. So what if I fall? As young people, let's get up and say to Satan, yes, I fell, but I'm going to get up. I'm going to repent. I'm going to run again. Then God will give us grace. Let's take challenge from this godly man's life and let's run a race which glorifies God before people and before Satan. Amen.
I want to thank God for the godly men about whom we heard today. I want to make them my heroes of faith. I want to walk with the Lord like them. You know, when I want to speak to you young people, you know, when we think about these people that they walked with God, and I want to tell you, we too can walk with God. And, you know, we may think that when my situation, when my circumstances are good, I can walk with God. Not every day. Shall I show you the example of Joseph? When he was a slave, when he was in a foreign country, when he knew nobody, we read in Genesis 39, when he walked with God. And I believe that God gave a revelation to all these men to walk with God. The treasure which God has, the enjoyment, the communion that we can have when we walk with God. God wants to lead us to the place where we can walk with God. You know, one thing about Joseph, there is no Bible, there is no fellowship like we heard. There is no one to guide him when he was in a trouble to go and ask the advice, godly counsel. But yet, he walked with God. One thing, the expression that we heard again and again, the Lord was with Joseph. What more we need, brothers and sisters? When the Lord is with us, we can walk with God. I believe that I pray that the Lord would give us the desire so that we can cover, that we can desire to walk with God. You know, I want to read Hebrews 12. You know, Hebrews 11, we read of the men of faith, the many of them we heard today, they walked with God. You know, God has given us something better for us. You know, in Hebrews 11 verse 40, it says God has provided something better for us. God has given us the Holy Spirit. Not only Jesus, He's given us the Holy Spirit who can with us all the time. You know, I want to read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 from the Living Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 from the Living Bible. I want to read it slowly. Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grand stands, let us strip off anything that slows us down. I want to underline the slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trips us up. And let us run with patience and the particular race that God has set before us. Each one of us, God has called us. God has a path. God wants us to walk with Him. Like Enoch, like Noah, like Joseph. You know, three things I would like to highlight in this verse. One, it says that slows us down. The sin that slows us down to walk with God. May we examine our life, the sin, the particular sin which always slows us down so that we cannot walk with God. And the second thing, wrap themselves so tightly around our feet. When we walk, when something is chained to our feet, we cannot walk fast. Like that, you know, the bondage that we are into, that can hold us so tightly that we cannot walk further. And third thing that trips us so easily, the basic sin, the sins that we are struggling with, it may strip us so easily. And further on, I would like to read verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus. I want to read from the Living Bible. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader, our instructor. What more we need, brothers and sisters, that we can look at our leader, our Jesus, and our instructor. He's the one who's going to show us the way to walk with Him. Maybe give ourselves, maybe ask the Lord to show us the way so that we can walk with Him like this man of faith who walked with God. May God help us. Amen.
It was very challenging when you suddenly read about these big names, Abraham, Joseph, Job. We may suddenly think, how can we walk like them? They were big men of God. What really encourages me is when I look at this, God walked with them also. It's not that they walked with God. Suddenly we get a picture. They accomplished. They did. But here, God humbled Himself and decided to walk with them. God could have said, no, I don't want to walk with you. You don't never measure up to my level. But here the big picture is God. He initiated this walking with Himself. Means He decided to walk with us. Even today, He would like to walk with us. That really encourages me. That excites me. These men did not start well. Is all ten whom we heard, even Moses. They did not start well. They were all like us, exactly like us. They were not different from us. Now we have Holy Spirit with us. And this is what I see in Genesis 3, verse 8. It reads, and they heard the sound of the Lord. This is when Abraham and Eve sinned and hid themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves. See, it was God who came down. When man and God had problem, God said, I want to go to their place and resolve the issue. And I want to walk with them. This really gives a real picture of God even today. God wants to walk with me. Though I am weak, I have failures, God says, I want to come with you and walk with you. And this is what the new covenant is all about. And also we read in James 4:8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Yes, there is a standard, but what I see is God is prepared to help us. God has come to our rescue. And today, walking with God is not difficult. See, here in John 6, Gospel of John 6, 66, we read, after Jesus spoke very strongly, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew. He says, his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. This can happen to us when we are hard in our heart, when we don't want to be corrected or don't want to fit into God's plan. We want our plan. That is where this issue comes. This is what the fear is. I walk a little bit with God, with all my failures, I can really testify. When we walk with God, it's like Brother Newton mentioned, it's exciting. And also, there is freedom, there is peace, there is joy. And there is no, what is that, frustration. Or like Brother Charles mentioned, that it's not burdensome, it's not heavy. This is what I have experienced a little bit. I can say it's exciting thing in our life that if we focus this and decide to walk with God. And especially I want to read this promise, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Here, our duty is to desire, delight myself in the Lord. When I say, Lord, I want to walk with you, I want to delight in you, then automatically my heart changes and His priorities become my priority. And I believe that this will come true in our life, that we desire the right things, we delight in the Lord. Nothing else, see, all these men, when we read about Jacob, Moses, they also started walking with so many things. Like Jacob started walking with his brother and walking with his own self and walking with his wife and father-in-law. Then one day he said, oh Lord, all this is empty. I want you. I want to walk with you. This is how Noah started. Everybody started. That's what we need to see. We may have walked with CFC for an extent, but that's not the ultimate joy. The ultimate joy is walking with the Lord in spite of coming to CFC. We may walk with Bible. We can go through the Bible. Without God, it's not exciting and it doesn't give us a joy in our life. I believe that God will help us. God is challenging us today that He is not a big man, executive, where we cannot approach Him. He wants to humble Himself and come down to our level in our daily circumstances, and He wants to walk with us. That excites me.